The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This evening's Parsha is Parshas B'Shalach. Also tonight is Tu B'Shvat. But I'm going to deviate a bit. In these parshas of Shmos, Va'er, Bay, B'Shalach, we learn about the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the enslavement and the Exodus. And your prime figure is Moshe Rabbeinu. And the last two Wednesday evenings, given shiurim on the beginnings of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was to become the great redeemer in the nation HaTorah, the giver of the Torah. And I would like to continue with that. Now, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Moshe to become the great Goel, redeemer, and he made him into a master, a lord over Parai, and where he performed all of the miracles, and he would become the great Nosei HaTorah, giver of the Torah. And actually, he also would have been the one who would conquer Eretz Yisrael had it not been for the episode of the Meriva, of the waters then. He gave Moshe a number of tests to make sure that he was Roi Lakach, that he was befitting for all of this. And in one of the shurim, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we spoke about he was born with enormous potential, enormous qualities, which he fulfilled. Now, in Parshas Shemos, it states Vayehi bayomim ahem, this is in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Shemos Beis, Vayigdal Moshe v'yetzei el ha'echo v'yar b'sivlosam. And this we spoke about last week. Let me just recap that after Moshe was taken in to become a son of the daughter of Parai, and he grew up in the palace, he went out to see his brothers and to see their burdens. Now that was the first test. It says he grew up, twice does it say he grew up, first lekoma, physically, and secondly legdula, he grew up b'mailas hanefesh, the qualities of the individual. And the Midrash tells us how he went out and he saw the burdens of his brethren and he wept and he suffered with them and he helped them. And this was something which he did not have to do because he was the prince. He knew he was a Hebrew, but nevertheless he could have divorced himself from all of the sufferings and from all of the problems and from his brethren. He was living in the ultimate of luxury. So this was his first test. The Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Atoso me'asokov bepalti shel melech liris betzari shel ochiv. You are turning away from your schedules that you have in the palace and all of your preoccupations with the affairs of the palace, to go see the sufferings of your brother and to see what you can, of your brethren, to see what you can do for them. So gam ani, I also will turn away from my affairs with the Shomayim Va'oretz, and I will come and see you. That was later at the burning bush. Now, what did this show? Firstly, this showed, the Maral writes, Ma'ilas Ugdulas HaNefesh, that he was a person of great stature spiritually. Because as we mentioned, he could have cut himself off from the rest. Not only that, he was risking his life because Parai didn't know he was a Hebrew. Parai was bent on killing all of the Hebrews, and he had to be very careful. So we see that He was a person of enormous stature. The prince from the king, from the palace. And he doesn't concern himself with himself, but he concerns himself with the plight of his brethren that were the low of the low. They were the slaves of the land. Secondly, the Maral writes in Vodas Hashem, we see that it was an Ish Klole, not an Ish Proti. That means he wasn't a small person, but he was an all-encompassing person. Small person is too preoccupied with his own worries and with his own businesses, his own concerns. Big person is occupied with other people's concerns. Moshe Rabbeinu was occupied with the concerns of all of Israel. This is why it's brought that Moshe Shokel Keneged Shishim Rabo. All the time it's Moshe v'Yisrael. Klal Yisrael and Moshe, he was equal to all of them. And this was very important, the Maral writes, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifies with the Tzibor. He himself is all-encompassing. So when he came to speak to Moshe, he wasn't speaking to him as an individual. Secondly, giving of the Torah to Moshe. The Torah encompasses the whole world that was created before the world. And no one individual can know the entire Torah. Yet Moshe had to learn the entire Torah to bring it into this world, because he was this all-encompassing person. So this was the first test. What was the second test? Immediately afterwards it states, Bayar ish mitzri make ish ivri me'achov. He saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. Vayifen kevachai, and he looked here and there. Vayar ki enish, he saw there was no man. Vayach es hamitzri vayitmaneu b'chol. So he struck the Egyptian, and he killed him, and he hid him in the sand. Now here we see even more. Not only was he concerned about his brethren, but we see that he could not tolerate an injustice. And here he was really endangering his life. When he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and the Medrash goes into all kind of background, which we're not going to go into this evening. We mentioned it on Shabbos, why this was taking place. But nevertheless, when he saw this, he couldn't close his eyes to it. And he couldn't walk away from it. His system could not intolerate a justice, to the point where not only he intervened, but he went and he killed the person. We are to find later on that Moshe was known as Ish Elohim. And the name of Elohim represents Mishpot, law and justice. He was known as the lawgiver. The fact is, we find that when it comes to the levels of Mishpot, two things we find. That firstly, HaMishpot LeElohim Hu. It states that justice, the scales of justice, are so deep and so refined that the ultimate justice is only by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaMishpat LeElokim, it's beyond the person. But I'll always write, stoker a person can do. You can give to someone, you give him a little less, you give him a little more, it's stoker. Chesed, generosity, you can do. But Mishpat, justice, can be a little more, a little less. That's why it's always symbolized by the scales. It has to be exact. And the Gemara says, HaMishpat is omuk, is deep. This is why it states that a reitzi yachim yasek b'divrei mominus. If you want to become wise, you should learn Nezikin, the section of Shas that deals with the justice between man and his fellow man. Cheshen Mishpat. Because it is of an unending depth. And the ultimate justice belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's one thing that is said about Mishpat. The second thing we find about Mishpat is there was no one that came closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's perfection of Mishpat than Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is why he was called Ish Elokim. One of the places we see this is later on in Parshas Yisro. Moshe sat and judged the people all by himself. And when Yisro came and said, Novel Tibol, you can't do this, it's too much for one person. You must delegate and appoint other judges that will help you. Right, the difficult cases they'll bring to you. But the other cases, the question is asked, and Moshe eventually accepted the proposal after discussing it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the question is asked, why didn't Moshe think of this himself? I mean, here he was the king of a nation which had millions of people, 600,000 men between 20 and 60. So this is just good administration. So the answer is, Maral writes, is because he didn't dare give away this role of Mishpat to someone else. He felt he couldn't, because no one could come to the level of judgment and understanding the Mishpat as he could. Therefore he held he had no right to give that away. Other things, all right, you delegate, but not this. Yisrael told him, this is good theoretically, but it's not going to work practically. You can't judge a nation of millions of people yourself. He said, discuss it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. But this is what we find. So here was a second test where Moshe was given an opportunity of Mishpat, and he fulfilled it. Now, to fulfill the Mishpat, you need two attributes. Firstly, the chokhmah and the bina, to understand what is right and what is wrong, like we mentioned. But secondly, then you have to put it into practice. Someone told me that a Rav, he doesn't like sitting on the bezdin and being a dayan, because the one that you'll judge against, he's going to hate you. There's no way. You judge in favor of Reuven, Shimon will hate you. You judge in favor of Shimon, Reuven will hate you. Not only that, but it says, Le'sagurim ibnei ish. The Torah says that a judge is not allowed to fear any man. He has to be fearless. So it's one thing to come to the right decisions. It's another thing to put it into practice. And here we see in civilization where it seems that our courts are not capable all of the time, besides of deciding what is right, putting it into practice. Moshe did both. The Medrash brings, he sat in judgment. Vayifen kevachai. He looked all around, which means that he assessed the whole situation. Vayarki einish, and he saw there was no man. Medrash says he was assessing the whole situation and he came to the conclusion of this man is guilty of the death penalty. Okay, very good. But to kill him, he was risking his life. Like we see afterwards. It states right afterwards, Vayishma Parah Sadova Zeva Yavakish Lahareg Es Moshe. That when Parah heard about this, he wanted to kill Moshe. So, still Moshe feared no one. And he went Vayaches HaMitzri, and he struck the Mitzri, he killed him. See, here we see the great capabilities of Moshe, and this we see generally. This fearlessness, it wasn't easy to go and stand before Pare, he and Aaron. Pare was the mightiest tyrant in the world at that time. He inherited from Yosef an empire which had come to such a height because of the famine in the world, and they had all of the wealth in the world. Moshe went before him, we see when it came to Og Melech HaBoshon and Sichon Melech HaMori, that he had to conquer these lands, and they were great giants. Moshe went in front to fight. So here we see a second test. Now we have a third test. Afterwards it states, Vayetze b'yem ha'sheni b'hinei shnei anoshim ivrim nitzim. The next day he went out again, and he saw two people, two Hebrews fighting. And he said, Rosh, why are you hitting your fellow man? The Medrash says that here the Torah writes twice. He went out, and he went out to teach us that this was even a greater test, because now he should have been very, very careful. Nevertheless, he intervened again. And he went out again to see what's happening with his people. And when he saw one Hebrew hitting another Hebrew, he intervened. Again, we see. He couldn't keep to himself. See? Saw an injustice, he had to do something about it. And he did. And this is a higher level already. Because you could say that when an Egyptian was hitting a Hebrew, then he would intervene. But this is an internal affair. A Hebrew is hitting a Hebrew, let them sort it out for themselves. No. Rosha, lo masaker echo. One is a Rosha, he intervened. So this was a third test. Now we come to a fourth test. It states further, Vayishma Pares Adover Azeh Vayavakesh Laharig Es Moshe. Pare heard what he did to the Egyptian and he wanted to kill him. The Medrash says that he took a sword, a great sword, and they were going to execute Moshe. Like Moshe says later on, Vayatzilenu Micherev Pare. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made all kind of miracles. He sent down an angel that was disguised as Moshe, so they grabbed the angel, and meanwhile Moshe escaped. Moshe ran away. He went to the land of Midjon, and he went and he sat next to the well. Why did he sit next to the well? The Medrash says he learned from the others. He looking for a wife, and many of the Ovis forefathers found their wives by the well. Well, Cain Midjon Sheva Bonis, and there was a priest in Midjon, and he had seven daughters. Batovonu, Vatidleno, Vatmaleno, Eserohotim, Lahashke's son Avihan. And they came, and they would draw the water, and they would fill up the vessels where the sheep would drink from with water in order to give water to the sheep of their father. Vayavohu areim, and the shepherds came by Igorshum and chased them away. Now what is going on here? The Medrash Rabbah gives us a little background. Lokein Midyan Sheva Bonais. Moshe is going to make ultimately a shidduch here between himself and the daughter of Yisro. It was the seventh daughter, and her name was Sipora. Valea Kodesh Baruch Hu Seini Avedis Kekovim V'nosain Monais L'meisha Eitzel Eivir Avedis Kekovim. The Medrash asks, he was a Kohen Midyon, he was a priest of Midyon, he was the high priest of Midyon, and he was an idolater. How is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make such a shidduch? Here you have from one side the Goel, the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael, and from the other side he marries the daughter of a high priest of Midian. So the Chazal say that Yisrael was a priest to Aveda Zora, to idolatry. He was a very, very wise person. And ultimately he found out, he came to the conclusion that the whole Aveda Zora, the whole idolatry, is worthless. And therefore he left all of his Aveda Zora and he did tshuva. This was before Moshe came. So when Moshe came already, he was not an idolater. And he called to all of the people of the city and he said, he said, till now I was your priest. I'm getting old. He didn't want to start up with them. He said, I'm getting old. Choose for yourself another priest. I want to retire. He took all of his objects of idolatry and gave it all back to them. They weren't happy with this. They were not happy with this at all. They decided to put him in cherem, to excommunicate him. And they decreed that nobody should work for him, and nobody should shepherd his sheep. He looked for shepherds, he couldn't find any. That's why his daughters were the shepherds now. They came, why does it have to say they came to the well? To tell us that they came early. They wanted to come and water their sheep and get out of there before the shepherds, other shepherds would come. But the shepherds came and they chased them out. If he's the high priest, why are they chasing the daughters out? This is part of the same story, because they have put him in cherem, and now the shepherds chased away the daughters from the well. Then it states, Vayokom Moshe Vayoshion. Moshe got up and he saved them. The Torah says, Moshe got up, Vayokom, he stood up, Vayoshion, and he saved them, Vayashke Sonam, and he watered their sheep. Now, to give a little explanation into what is going on, the Medrash asked, how can we make such a shidduch between a high priest of Aveda Zorah and Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Medrash answered, he was a Baal Tshuva. He gave up all of his Aveda Zorah. Actually, the Maral says, Yisrael in particular had a great identification with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because later on in Parshas Yisro, when Yisro came to be reunited with his daughter Moshe Rabbeinu, this was after they went out of Egypt. So Yisro said, this was in Yud Ches, Posuk Yud and Yud Aleph, Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzlah Eskem B'Yad Mitzrayim. He praised HaKadosh Baruch Hu that saved you from Egypt. He said, Ato Yodati, now I know, Ki Godol Hashem Mikol Elokim. Now I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than every God. The question is asked, how did he know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater than every God? Mikan, the Chazal say that he was Eved Kol Aved Zorah Sheba Elam. He went and he worshipped every idolatry, every alien religion in the world. He tested out. Now why? Generally, an idolater, he picks one religion and he goes after it. He's not satisfied, he picks a second one. He was not satisfied with anyone. He was a very, very wise person. And he tasted from them all until he had worshipped everyone in the world. And now he was qualified to say that now I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is greater from all of the so-called gods of the world. But the Baal says it shows something. It shows a nature. He says generally an idolater cannot see the whole picture. He sees just fragments of the picture. Because if you see what he worships, he doesn't look for the ultimate source of the world. Israel, they can see, they look for the whole picture. They see the sun, they see the moon, they see the sea, they see the stars. They don't go and worship the moon and worship the sun and worship the sea and worship the stars. They try to find out who brought all of this in being. They look for the ultimate source. And they worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But an idolater is not capable of that. He sees only fragments. And what he sees, he worships. Or he looks at what he feels is the strongest of the fragment. Is the fire stronger than the water? Is the water stronger than the fire? Is the god of the sea stronger than the god of the land? There's many gods. See? That's what it means. We have one God. They have many. The reason why Israel can worship the source, because he has this all-encompassing vision. And this is what we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Isha Kolel. When you see someone who worships every idolatry in the world, Yisro also had this all-encompassing vision. And that's why he couldn't satisfy himself with any single god. And that's why eventually he gave them all up. So he really had an affinity, Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Eventually he became the first gear. And not only that, he added to the Torah. He added a parsha to the Torah. He could identify with Torah. That's all-encompassing. And even more so, he says, from the fact that he tasted from all Avodah Zarah and left it, that puts a person on a higher level than someone who never tasted from Avodah Zarah at all. Because it states that to those who leave idolatry, the Avodah Zarah, the idolatry, is more despicable in their eyes than to those who never tasted it to begin with. Because someone who doesn't taste the Avera, he can still feel it tastes good. Okay. But Kodesh Baruch Hu said no. But to someone who has tasted the Avera, and then he sees the evil in it, he knows better. This is similar to what the Chazal say, B'mokom shebal tshuva emed ein tzadikim gemurim yochel lamed bo. That a Baal Tshuva can come to a higher level than a Tzadik Gomor that someone ever tasted. So, it could be that Yisrael even rose to an enormous level when it came to Emunas Hashem, to faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he tasted from every Avodah Zarah in the world and he left it. So therefore he had a very good affinity to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does it say he had seven daughters? To tell us what the Chazal say, that the seventh one is the one that Moshe married, Tzipora. To tell us also that he was, that this daughter that had come from him, she was on an enormous level to marry Moshe Rabbeinu. And the seventh, the Medrash always says, Kol Hashvi Mekudesh. Seventh is always sanctified. Seventh day is sanctified. Seventh year is sanctified, and so forth. So this gives us a little background into Yisro. Then it states Vayigorshu The Chazal's Kasha, what they're asking, it says that the shepherds came and chased them away. It should say by Gorshun with a Nun. That would be Lashon Akeva. That would be feminine. Instead, it states by Gorshum with a Mem, which is masculine. This is Meramez that really they weren't against the daughters, they were against him. They were against Yisro. Then it states, Vayokam Moshe Vayoshion, Moshe stood up and he saved them. Melamed Sheyoshav Lohan Badin. From here we learn that he sat in judgment of them. Here we see Moshe again, the judge. He sat in judgment of them. Now, how do we know that he sat in judgment? This is what the Midrash says. Melamed Sheyoshav Alehem Bedin, he sat in judgment. The Midrash HaMavura says, because it says, Vayokam, he stood up. If he stood up, he must have been sitting. What does it mean he was sitting? So this is a remes. This is a subtle indication that he was judging them, because the halacha is that when a judge judges, he has to judge, be yeshiva, he has to sit. Because if he can sit, he can contemplate better. He can go into the depths of the deen better. This is what some aforshim say. The Maral says differently. He says from the fact that it says by Yokum, it shouldn't say that. It should say by Yoshion Moshe. Moshe saved them from the shepherds. What's by Yokum? He stood up and he saved them. And the fact that it says he stood up, this shows again an Isaeris. He stood up. It shows with a keach, with a strength, that he could not tolerate the injustice that was going on. Now here again we see that he's intervening in something that shouldn't even be his asik. And in Egypt, I had an Egyptian was hitting a Hebrew. Okay. In the second case, a Hebrew was hitting a Hebrew. Okay. But over here he's in Midian. The Midianites were an evil nation. There's an asik there between the shepherds and the girls. What's it Moshe's business for? What's it his business? He's seeking refuge. He's a fugitive. So let him go on his way. By Yoakum, that shows anger, that shows strength. So that was the deen. It was the justice that spurred him on. Melamed Sheyoshav Lohen Bedin. And he did what he thought that one should do. So again, here we see Ish Elokim, Moshe, the law, the judge. And even when it had to do with a fight that was not his at all, he just saw an injustice. He saw the shepherds molesting the girls. Then the Midrash comes and says, First the Medrash says that Moshe said, generally men would draw the water and the women would give the drink to the animals. This means as follows, that usually when all of the shepherds would come to the well, so the hard part was drawing the water out of the well. So the men would draw the water and fill up the trays with the water. And then once the trays were filled up with water, so the women would see that the sheep would drink from it. Here what was happening, it says Vatidleno, that the Noshim were Delis. The daughters came and they would join the water. And then the Anoshim, the shepherds, came and took away all the water and fed it to their sheep and wouldn't let them feed it to their sheep. Now, the Medrash HaMavura brings from the Avos Reb Noson that Moshe Rabbeinu said as follows. Ibis Hadin Yeshkan. There is a distortion of justice here. They're drawing the water, and then these men are coming and taking all of the water for their sheep, and they don't let them use it for their own sheep. That's why it says Bayoshion. So what the Midrash is bothered with, why does it say Bayoshion he saved them? It should say that he chased away the shepherds and they were allowed to drink from the water, to take from the water. What does it mean by Yoshion? So he was Matzil Oshik Miyad Eshke. Actually the Medrash brings two other opinions, because it says Bayoshion. Bayoshion is a word, is a very strong word, that you save someone from a very great sorrow. And it's a one Pirish is what we said, but others learn that Reisha Aglili, that they actually were coming to molest the girls. They were molesting the girls and they wanted to violate them. And this is why Moshe came by Yoshion and he saved them. There's a third opinion that they took the girls and threw them into the wells. And this is what Moshe came by Yoshion. Now, at any rate, what do we see from all of this? This was the next test that he had. And we see that Moshe is a judge. He cannot tolerate an injustice. He's concerned for everyone that he comes into contact with. And he's fearless. He was a single person. There were many shepherds there. And this was between Nochrim and Nochrim, people that were not from his nation. Now, we go a step further. He went and Bayashk es Seinom. He went and gave drink to their sheep. Batavonu al Ruel Avien. They came to Reuel, their father. Who was Reuel? We were speaking of Yisro. So the Chazal tell us that Yisro had seven names, and one was Reuel, and Reuel meant a Rea Lekel, a friend to Hashem. And here he's called that because he's becoming a great friend to Hashem here. He's going to make a shidduch with his daughter Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, why have you come so early today? And they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilonu Miyad Horoim. An Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds. Vigam Dolei Dolo Lonu Bayashke Satzon. Not only did he save us from the shepherds, but he gave water to, drew up all of the water, and he watered the sheep. And he said to his daughters, and where is he? Lomazah azraftem esa ish. Why have you left the man there? Kirenlai vayechal lochem. Call him, and we will eat bread together. Vayel Moshe l'shevis ha'si'ish. Moshe came back. He agreed to dwell with the man. Vayitein ha'sipora bita l'Moshe. And gave him his daughter Sipora. A little background to this is when he said, why did you leave him there? Call him and we'll have bread together. We'll eat together. He meant, call him, perhaps he's a shidduch for one of you. And then it states Sipora ran back to the well. She was the one that was destined to him. And maybe she didn't know, but her mazel knew. And she was the one who went back to the well. He was still there. And she told him, come home, my father wants to meet you, and my father wants to give you something to eat. Now, Zakash is a question. Yisro was a wise man. How does a wise man prepare to make a shidduch with a person he never laid eyes upon? They told him the story. All right, good. The gentleman, first class. But he said, Ayol lama ze azavtem? Where is he? Why did you leave him? Call him. We'll make a shidduch. So fast. So the Chazal are bothered with the question. And they say that Yisro was a very wise man, and he had two simonim, two signs that he wanted this person. Firstly, it's when they told over the story, V'gam dolei dolo lonu, he drew water for us, v'yashkes hatzon, and he gave water to the sheep. Actually, when the Torah says v'yoshion, he saved them, it states v'yashkes sonon, he gave water to their sheep. When they told over the story, they said that he gave water to the sheep. What was the difference? The Torah was interested to tell us that he gave water to their sheep. But in reality, everybody's sheep got water that day. And that's what they said to Yisro. Not only did he give water to our sheep, but all the sheep got water. Why? Because they said the minute he went near the well, the water started to flow over. And all the trays filled up. And all the sheep had water. That's why they said, Vayashkes Hatzon. Now Yisro was bothered with that. What do you mean when he went next to the well, all of a sudden, the well is deep and you have to send buckets down many times, very, very deep. You know, when they dig a borehole, they can go 100 meters into the ground. So what do you mean all the water all of a sudden starts coming up? So Yisro said, this might be Mizera Yaakov Avinu. The Dolei dolor d'li achas dolor v'hishkes kol hatzein shohayushom. They not only said, they said with one drawing, he brought up enough water to give, this is what the Medrash says, to give water to all of the sheep that were there. Shohayushom v'nis borchu amayim al yodo. The water was blessed because of him. Tzonein aleinu amar ela tzon. Not our sheep, but everybody's sheep. Shavtzein hareim hishko. Bayomer al Beneso Baye Omalehem Simin Shaten Emrish Shadolov Ishkes Kolatzon, this that you're telling me, Zem ibn Bonov Shul Yaakov, this seems to be a descendant from Yaakov Avinu. Because by Yaakov was Sho Omar Alaber, Vaber Mizboreches Bishvilei. By Yaakov Avinu, he was able to do that. He would stand next to the well and the water would come up by itself. The Maral brings that Yaakov was given this special bracha, Birchis Tahom Revetzes Tochas. That not only will you have the brachas of Shomayim, but you will have the brachas of Tahom, the brachas of the depth. And it states, Yaakov said, Govru Birchis Aves. Govru birchais avosecha al birchais avesai. Govru birchais avicha al birchais avesai. That the brachas that were given to me, from Avram to Yitzchok to me, became greater than even the brachas that were given to them. So this bracha, birchais shomayim me'ol, you should have the brachas of the heavens, but birchais tohom revetzes. Tochas, the brachas of the depth that was given to Yaakov more than anyone else. And what does it mean, birchis atahom? The birchis atahom is where we come right to the source of the brach of the water. There's a difference between a mikveh and a mayon. A mikveh is water which comes from the heavens but becomes detached from the heavens, falls into a pond. This is a mikveh. It's mine klushim. It's waters which are detached from its source. A mayon, a spring that comes out of a well in the ground, that is known as mayim chayim, living waters, because it's never detached from its source. As it comes up, it's coming up and it's still mechuber, it's still attached to its very source. The Mishnah tells us that a mayim has a keach to be metaher more than a mikveh. The power of tahara of a spring is stronger than that of a mikveh, because the mikveh is mayim klushin, its waters which have become detached. They've lost their source. While the mayim is mayim chayim, it's called living waters. It's attached to its source. The bracha that was given to Yaakov was that he will be bonded right to the source of the bracha. Where is the water is bracha. Where is its source? Its source is in the depths. Be'echa is tahom revetzes tochas. But Ribochel gave Yaakov a bracha not only mitala shomayim, not only from what will come from the heavens, but he will be bonded to the depths which is at the very source of the bracha. Now, this firstly is a sign of bracha. Secondly, this is a sign of unending life, because to be attached to the source of the life of the water is a sign of unending life. This is what we find that Yaakov Avinu Lemes, his children will never die. This is the Nitzchias of Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the bracha that his seed will be everlasting. Yisrael understood this. He says, what you're telling me is something very great here. The water, he only walked to the water, the well, and it came up and it was unending. And it was enough water for all of the sheep. He says, he's from the Zerah of Yaakov Avinu. He says, I want to cleave to that Zerah. Because other nations and other tyrants, Pare with Midian, they'll fall, they'll die. This Zerah, because they're detached from their source. Yaakov and his seed will not be detached from its source and live forever. Therefore, I want to be Mizdabik B'Zerah Zerah. That was the first sign. Second sign, this he brings from the Yalkut Shimoni. He said, after he heard this, he said, Le'imel ben Esau ve'ayo, where is he? Lama ze'az after him, why did you leave him? The Yalkut Shimoni says, Amalehem, Shema me'eses zera, she'omar ayei sori ishtecho. The word ayo, ayei, where, we find that another place in the Torah. When the angels came to visit Abraham and Sora, and to tell them that next year, Abraham then was 99 and Sora was 90, and they said that next year you will have a son. And that's when Abraham made the big meal for them and took care of them. They didn't see Sora. So the angel said, Ayei Sora Ishtecho. Where is Sora, your wife? So they used that word, Ayei. Where? And that's what he used here, Ayo. Where is he? So the Medrash joins the two parshas, the two subjects, and says, what did he mean when he said Ayo? Shema me'esa zera sho'omar ayei sora ishtecho. Maybe this man is from the seed of that woman who the angel said ayei to, who was Sora, shekola ela mizborach bishvil esa zera, and her seed, who was Yitzchok, he brought bracha to the entire world. Now, what's one thing have to do with the other? It's good, we have a gzeira shove, we have a link between the two parshas. It uses a common word, so we know that this parsha, where Yisrael said, Ayo, where is he, has something to do with the parsha of the angels and Avram and Sarah when they said, Aye Sori Ishtecha, where is Sori your wife? But what does it have to do with each other? And from here Yisrael said, this man must be from her, and she brought seed into the world. There was Mizbara Kola Eilam Bishvilei. The whole world was blessed. What does it have to do? So the Maral says something very omak, very deep. He says, Yisrael had a great question. This person, he said, if you go and you come into a strange place and you save 7 daughters from all types of misfortunes, and they're the daughters of a very, very important man, a man who was the high priest, that was like the president of the state, president of the state. What do? You don't just disappear. He said, Shaharei Osa Tovali, he did me a great favor. Why didn't he come with you? He should have been Rotz Eli. He should have ran to me, Leimar, to tell me what he did. Because I would reward him. I would make him famous. He saved my 7 daughters. Nela disappeared. Didn't even bother coming. He said, something is wrong. He said, this man, which you're telling me about, made a shuhut snua bedrochav. This man is an enormous tsanua. What does it mean, a tsanua? A tsanua is someone who likes to conceal himself. He doesn't like high profile. I mean, today, if someone would have done that, he would be there with the television and the media and CNN, and it'd be broadcasted over to a few billion people. This is a person that is not high profile. He likes to keep himself low profile. He likes to conceal himself. As far as he's willing to go on his way and forget about it. Now, he says, this is not the normal way. Therefore, and I got to ask, where is he? He says, Ulai hu mizere shel Sora. He said, there was another time when people had to ask, where is she? When the angels came. And Abraham and Sora made such a beautiful meal for them, gave them so much. And Sora concealed herself. And we wanted to thank Sora. We wanted to give her brachas. We had to ask, Aye Sora Ishtecha, where is Sora, your wife? And we see she also was that type that would run from the spotlight, that would conceal herself. He says, Ulai hu mizere shel Sora. Maybe he's from the seed of Sora. Sha'omra malachim aleh, Aye Sora Ishtecha, that the angels had to say, Aye, where is Sora, your wife? And if someone has that quality of being such a tsanua, he says, firstly, that's the quality of brocha. It's also a quality of brocha. Why? Because the Chazal tell us, Ein a brocha mitzuya ela aldova shemachusim mina ayin. Brocha is found only by things which are concealed, not by open things. Chazal always tell us, you want to be wealthy, don't count your money in public. If you ever speak to wealthy people who've been through the ups and downs, they don't they don't publicize what they have. They've learned that. See, they've learned that. There was once I met an economic historian. What does he do? He writes history on economies. So he told me, he says, who are the three wealthiest men in South Africa? So at that time it was Oppenheimer and what's the man from the cigarettes?
Rupert.
And Liberty Life. What was
Donegal.
He says, did you ever see an interview about them in the newspaper? I says, no, I don't think I've seen them. You know, where they would give a reporter an interview on their lives and what they're doing and so forth. There'll be the company reports as required by law. But did you ever see an interview? I says, no. He says, you'll never see one either. He says, because they know how to make money. He says, people make money, they don't do it publicly. Now this is the Chazal. Ein abrocha mitzuya el aldover shemachusa min ha'ayin. You want brocha, it has to be concealed. The fact is, you find that the wealth of the world is concealed. You'll find stones and sand anywhere. But you want diamonds or you want gold, you've got to dig deep for it. And in general, the Maral says that the more, if you look into the world, the more concealed something is, the more precious it is. The more revealed something is the lesser the level. Actually, the Gemara says, "Kol kfuda bas melech penimo." A king, he's always in the inner chambers, not in the front of the house, outside. A queen is in the inner chambers. Jewelry, pearls, you keep concealed. You wear them and then you conceal them. Actually, the pearls are found the bottom of the sea. In the spiritual world, the secrets of the Torah are concealed. You have to dig for it. It's compared to wine. The wine of the grape is concealed. It's not the grape, it's not even the grape juice. But it's what's fermented from it which is totally concealed. The soul is concealed. And of course, Baruch Hu says, the soul is like me, that I'm concealed. Yeshu b'seisera. So this is all a sign of brochen, a sign of kedusha, of sanctity. What was the most sanctified part of the Beis HaMikdash? Not what was in front, but was concealed. The Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is what he saw. He says, this person who should have run for the spotlight. Ayo, I have to ask where he is. It reminds me of the Malachim that they had to ask where Sor is. He says, perhaps there's a connection here. Perhaps that he is from that Zera, from Sora, who brought into the world a seed that the whole world was misborach from. So he put the two together. He says, when you told me about the water and now you're telling me about this, Loma Zaften, why did you leave him? Go. Kiremlai, call him. Yehalochem, and we will eat together. We will make a shidduch. So Tzipora ran after him, brought him back, and he gave her Tzipora for a wife. So here we see further tests of Moshe Rabbeinu and more milas of Moshe Rabbeinu, where he had the, first of all, he intervened and he did his justice, but then he wasn't interested in the spotlight. He was interested in doing good and finished. And this is a keach brocha, and Kedusha, but it's also very important for a manhig, for someone to be a leader. Because it states by Esther, actually tonight is Tu Bishvat, the 15th. That means that Purim is in 1 month. Purim is in the 14th of Adar. It's 1 day less than a month. And Esther became a great leader. And Esther also was very concealed. The Gemara brings. She was a tzanua. She kept herself very humble and very concealed. And by when Mordechai heard of the plot against the king by his two servants, and he told Esther, so it states that Esther told the king, "B'shem Mordechai," in the name of Mordechai. And this played a big role in the Geula and the redemption of Klal Yisrael by Achashverosh. And the Mishnah Ovah says, whenever you say something in the name of the one who said it, in other words, you give the credit where the credit is due, maybe Gula Lailam, you're helping to bring a redemption like Esther, because had Esther not said it in the name of Mordechai, but in her own name, so then the Gula might not have come out, because that was a major role in the Gula, in the redemption. That helped to bring down Haman. So why is that so important? Because the Maral says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a king and he wants a prince and he wants a leader, he wants him not to advance his own name. He wants him not to be mefarshim, not to publicize and to spread his own name, but to be mefarshim the Shem Hashem, but to spread the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person has a quality that he does something, that someone else does something, he wants to take the credit for it, then that's not the one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses for a leader. But if, even when he does something, but he gives the credit where the credit is due, like Esther, she could have said that I did it, and Achashverosh would have awarded her handsomely for it. But she gave the credit to Mordechai. That shows she's not interested in spreading her own name, she's interested in spreading, she would be a leader that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So certainly by Moshe Rabbeinu here, where we see that he was not interested in spreading and advancing his own interests, Kodesh Baruch Hu said he would be a leader. Plus, this quality is the quality of humility also. And the Gemara brings that the Torah says Moshe was honored mikol odom. He was the most humblest person, and that was a reason why he was able to receive the Torah. Because this is a quality that one needs for Torah. So here we see another test that he was given and how he successfully passed this test also.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.